pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
This is God's unchanging purpose. You are not going to ever change the purposes of God. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purposes of God will prevail. No matter what seeks to come against God, there is not going to be a thwarting of God's original plan and purpose.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series that we've called The Top 10 from Pastor Alan, as presented at Rinalda Church in North Carolina in the first 10 years of Pastor Alan's radio broadcast ministry. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now, a digital copy of The Top 10 from Pastor Alan Wright. This digital download can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries, or if you prefer, we do have a CD album available. Your choice. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org, that's PastorAlan.org, or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. We'll tell you more about it later in the program, but right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Genesis chapter 22, first book in your Bible, and this provides the context of Hebrews 6, where we'll be looking and getting our good news today. Genesis chapter 22, this is the story in which Abraham, the patriarch who has inherited the blessing of promise to be a father of a nation, had been called up out of the Ur of the Chaldees, given in Genesis chapter 12 an oath of God that you will be blessed and your people be blessed, and you'll be having numerous descendants. And now the blessing seems to be called into question, because Abraham is called now by God to go and take this only son, Isaac, the son of promise, upon whom hinges all of the oath of God to be fulfilled in this son, Isaac. Without Isaac, there seems to be no way for the promise to be fulfilled. And so it seems that the promise of God is called into question, because God calls Abraham to take Isaac and offer him upon the altar as an act of worship. And at verse 6 of 22, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Where is the lamb? I'm going to preach a sermon on that one day. Where is the lamb? Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb." God himself. Everybody say himself. I'm not going to provide it. You're not going to provide it. I'm not real sure where it's coming from, but God himself will provide it. The word provide comes from pro, meaning before, and video, meaning to see. To provide means to see before. If you could see everything before, you could already have the provision there waiting on the need. God himself will provide it. I don't know how, but if there's one thing I know about our God, son, is that God doesn't make a promise and then turn back on it. I doubted him once, and so we wound up with Ishmael. But it's a new day, son. And I don't know what's going to happen. But God himself will provide the lamb. There's never been a greater or more poignant or powerful or accurate prophetic word, has there? But that God himself will provide the lamb. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Now lay a hand on the boy Not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abram looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. He called that place, the Lord sees, is what it literally means. Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to call this place Jehovah Jireh because the Lord sees ahead and provides. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you've done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. If you want to know what your spiritual inheritance is, then I call to you, church, the spiritual offspring of Abraham, and tell you that here you have your inheritance. I will bless you, says the Lord, and I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I'm going to bless your life, and the fruit of your life will be spiritual descendants that will go on beyond you and touch the world. And your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Not only will you, but those whose lives you touch will be infected, will be gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit, such that you take back what the enemy had stolen. I'm going to bring about a restoration. The world seemed like it was lost, but it is not. And I'm going to bless you that you'll be a blessing and you're going to have spiritual victory in your life. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed. We've got an inheritance. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. See, God came to Abraham in Genesis 12 and gave him an oath. I bless you. And you'll be blessed, and your people will be blessed, and the world will be blessed through you. And he came back in Genesis 22, and he blessed him again, and gave him the same oath again. Now we come to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. Hebrews 6:13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. The unchanging nature of his purpose. And his purpose was to bless Abraham, his natural descendants, and all of his spiritual offspring, so that through this blessing, there would be blessing released in the world. This is God's unchanging purpose. You are not going to ever change the purposes of God. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purposes of God will prevail. I'm telling you, come no matter what seeks to come against God, there is not going to be a thwarting of God's original plan and purpose to bless the human beings that he made in his image so that they would have dominion in the earth. And he wanted this to be very clear to the heirs. He doesn't want people who are heirs to be acting like orphans. So he has sworn by himself to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, and he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. The point of what he's saying is to encourage us. The text that immediately precedes this is an exhortation to not be lazy. You could call this message the answer out of our laziness, but I think I'm going to call it God Squares to God.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
The life-changing message of good news has been taught over radio from Alan Wright Ministries for quite some time now, and God has used every one of those messages. but some broadcasts have really hit home in special ways. In gratitude of more than a decade of radio, we have assembled the most powerful, best-loved messages from each year of the first 10 and put them together in one special album. When you make a gift to Alan Wright Ministries this month, we want to give you Alan Wright's top 10 CD album or digital download. Are you ready for some good news? Make your gift today and discover God's grace afresh with Alan Wright's top 10 of the first decade. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
When you're kids, it's funny. It's like you want to tell the truth, but the studies show that kids don't tend to tell the truth. I watched a documentary recently, which they had an experiment, hidden camera in a small room, the empty table and a chair. They put a child in there at the table and said, "Now I want you to turn around and face the wall, and I'm going to put something on the table. And when I leave, I want you not to look at what's on the table. All right?"
"Yes."
"Okay, you're not going to look, are you?" "No." And they'd walk out, and they had the video camera going, and most of them, within the first 5 seconds, would turn around and see what was on the table. By the way, that's what the law does to you. Don't think of a pink elephant right now, please. Whatever you do, don't think of that pink elephant. And so they watch on the video camera, and then the person comes back in and says, "Well, did you look?" "No." 7 out of 10 of these precious, otherwise perfect children immediately lied about it, while their parents are watching in a separate room on the video screen to see their children, their precious little ones, lying. And as children, we tend to kind of know that it's one thing for somebody to say yes or no to us, but if the circumstances change a little bit, that might not hold. So if you really want to get something from somebody, you need to move beyond just a yes or a no. It's, you know, "Can we have ice cream tonight?" And if the parent says, "We'll see," that means no. But if the parent says yes, you know, the child might want to ramp up the commitment a little bit by saying, "Do you promise?" Because a yes or a no is not quite as good as a promise. If you make the promise, you've put a little bit more into it. Now, if you really want to turn the heat up another notch, it's not only do you promise, but what we do as kids is we like, "Do you promise no crosses counted?" And you have to bring your hands around and say, "Okay, no crosses." And then you cross your legs and they don't notice, you see. Because I can nullify this by some other superstition here. "You promise no crosses counted?" And we're like, "Okay, I promise no crosses counted." But if you really, really still, you know you need to get confidence that they're going to stick by this, you turn it up just another notch. And that's where you get into not only do you promise, but do you swear? Will you swear? My mama taught me, "Don't you ever swear like that. That's not good." So I'm like, ooh. If you really need somebody to, you know, "Okay, do you swear?" "Okay, I swear I'll do it." Now something's really happened. But if it's really important, it'd be like, "Do you swear, cross your heart, hope to die?" I mean, will you add some personal mortal infliction of pain upon yourself and ultimate death if you don't do this? Would you invoke the gods of the universe to strike you down with lightning if you don't say this? Would you add something to your oath here? I need to know that you really, really mean this. Okay, all right, I swear, I cross my heart, I hope to die. And I tell you, if you get really desperate in our society, and you just, I mean, there's some way we've got to try to get people to tell the truth here, because everything rests on somebody telling the truth that they actually saw the murder happen or that they saw the bank robber come out. Now, so we're desperate. So will you just put your hand on the Bible and just raise your other hand? And will you just swear by this Bible? Now, you can't use this Bible in the classroom or any other part of our government, but for right now, we're going to use it. And so you put your hand on the Bible and just raise it up here. Just, will you swear to God right now? I know you don't believe in God and you never read the Bible, but just put your hand on the Bible and just, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. I mean, I'll just swear right now by God. That's what we do. So something's really, really important. I don't know what to do. I'm just gonna make an oath to God. I'm just gonna build my life and everything's gonna depend on it. I'm gonna determine right now, okay, God, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna do it. I mean, just kill me if I don't do it. I'm going to do it. So it's so serious that I need to invoke the greater power that could just strike me down at any time. So just, I swear I'm going to be a better person. I am not going to keep on being so lazy. I'm not going to keep being late to all the meetings. I'm not going to do it. Well, you swear. Well, no, it's not that important. I'm not going to swear on it, but I mean it. And see, most of my life I've heard the Christian gospel proclaimed as something that sounds a little bit like good news, and then it kind of sounds like bad news. Because it just seemed like most of the messages for most of my life have wound up being like, okay, now, you know, here's, you know, God died for you, you know, you need to get saved. Now here, I'm going to give you 7 steps to be a better husband, because you're not a very good husband as you are right now. So write these down. I got 7 things for you. Write them down, because, you know, number one, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that means sacrifice. Are you sacrificing right now? Are you sacrificing enough for your wife? And all the wives are, no, you're not sacrificing enough for me. You cannot put a check next to that one. And the next thing is, you know, you'd have got... See, it was kind of like good news, but then it kind of turned into, will you, you know, by the end of the message, it's like, will you today recommit your oath to God to just live a better life? Would you just recommit yourself and make a fresh oath today? The old oath, well, you hadn't kept that one, but you can make a new oath today. You could just right here in front of God and these witnesses, you could just right now establish, I'm going to do better, God. Yes, I am. And when we do spiritual disciplines like this, you know, your problem is you don't read the Bible enough. That's your problem. You don't read the Bible enough. If you read the Bible more, well, in the first place, you'd know what it said and you'd quit doing all those things you're doing, because that's not matching up with the Bible. So just read it more. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to get up before the birds are up. I'm going to get up. I don't care if I get no sleep and get a sinus infection and my immune system gets compromised. I'm going to get up whether I can sleep or not. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible every day. You know, your problem is you don't pray enough. Look at what Jesus did for you, and you cannot tarry for an hour. He died on the cross for you. He bled for you on that cross, and you cannot tarry 1 hour. You can't even give 1 stinking hour to God by praying. Get yourself up out of that bed and pray. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray every day for an hour. I'm going to pray a week. I'm going to pray every day for a half hour. I'm going to get up another week. I'm going to pray every day for 15 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna pray 3 times a week, 10 minutes a day. All right, I'm gonna learn to shoot arrow prayers to God on the way to work. I'm gonna do it. My God, I'm gonna do it. And we do our accountability relationships like this. Because if you really grow up in the Lord, you realize you not only need preaching on Sunday and teaching on Wednesday in small group, but you need to get a mentor relationship. I actually really believe in this, in discipling relationships. And if you're ever going to get rid of that sin in your life, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need an accountability partner. That's your problem, buddy. You got no accountability. All right, I'm going to meet you at 5 a.m. every Friday. I'm going to meet you because, you know, we need to hold each other. Iron needs to sharpen iron. So you get together. Did you sin this week? Yes, I did. I know what you did. You lusted, didn't you? I did. Tisk, tisk. I figured you would. You promise to do better next week? Yes. Next week, it's a lust-free week. Absolutely. All right, I'm going to be checking back with you next Friday, 5 a.m. sharp. I'll be there. I'll be there having not lusted. All right. You get back together. Look me in the eye. I'm your accountability partner. Don't tell me a lie. You lusted this week, didn't you? I did. I made it to Wednesday. Tisk, tisk. You know what? You're going to have to, something's got to change. You know what we're going to have to do? I'm going to start meeting you twice a week. You can't make it a Wednesday. All right, I'm going to meet you on Tuesday and Friday. Every Tuesday and Friday, 5 a.m. That's what I need. I need more accountability. All right, I'll meet you on Tuesday. Did you send you? Yeah, I did. I knew you were going to. You did it again. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to call you every day. Because you obviously do not feel bad enough about yourself to stop doing this terrible behavior that is damaging so many people. You can't seem to keep your oath. So I'm going to have to just call you every day. That's what you need, is more accountability. You know the problem with trying to live your life out of keeping your oath to God? The problem with it is, it's a system which is built on and fueled by fear.
Alan Wright, and here it is. This is our teaching that really is the flagship of this particular series, God Swears to God, a study of Hebrews, and it's continuing in a moment with Alan here in the studio with additional insight on what we've heard and a final word.
The life-changing message of good news has been taught over radio from Alan Wright Ministries for quite some time now, and God has used every one of those messages. But some broadcasts have really hit home in special ways. In gratitude of more than a decade of radio, we have assembled the most powerful, best-loved messages from each year of the first 10 and put them together in one special album. When you make a gift to Alan Wright Ministries this month, we want to give you Alan Wright's top 10 CD album or digital download. Are you ready for some good news? Make your gift today and discover God's grace afresh with Alan Wright's top 10 of the first decade. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, I love this series. I love this particular teaching, and I've heard you teach it a lot of times. For those who are just hearing it and thinking that's a creative title, are we in reference to the Trinity, God in three persons? Unpack that for a moment.
So God swears to God is literally what Hebrews tells us that God did when he made the covenant with Abraham, seeing there's no one else to swear by. He swore by himself. So when you make a covenant in the Old Testament times, literally they would cut an animal, walk between this sort of bloody gauntlet of animal carcass, and essentially make their vows, each party in the covenant. Mm-hmm. One would say, if I do not keep my vow, may I be like this slain animal.
Yeah.
And what the writer of Hebrews is alluding to is when God made his covenant with Abraham, Abraham was asleep. God let him go into sort of a trance. Mm-hmm. And God was represented by a blazing fire pot that moved between the slain carcass. It was wow. God himself making the covenant and saying essentially, if I don't keep my word and my promise to you, Abraham, may my life be like this slain animal.
Yeah.
And of course, the beauty of the gospel is that he did come and he became the lamb.
Yeah.
The lamb who was slain for us. So this is all wrapped up in what it means, this powerful, intriguing thought that God swore by himself. We're learning about the depths of God's new covenant promises to us in Christ.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.